Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whoa. Damn. It's a drone. Bite me.
And there it goes. I still don't know how they do this without, like, you know, decapitating someone with a drone flying around. Oh, that's a nice pool table.
Well, yeah.
They hide money.
They obviously have a very good
drone. Do they work there? Is there? Well, they haven't had to work since 2016 for the first round of the draft. That's the LA Rams draft.
I mean, that's incredible.
Sponsorships.
Holy shit. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah. I mean, they're going to all be sitting in London. They're all going to be sitting in the same damn room together for the whole day. And they got every room decorated and, I mean, it's decked out. That's it. That really is amazing. I wish they'd invite me there.
I think I saw gold records on the wall. Oh, wait. There's beds. It's like a futon. They got a futon at least. So there's some place they can sleep. Yeah. That's probably where they're going to do the work. But a lot of distractions there. They haven't had a first-round pick since 2016, the year they traded up to get Jared Goff. So there's no guarantee that they actually are going to use that pick tonight. I think they're at 19 overall. Is that right? 19. Is 19 the magic number for the LA Rams?
Yep.
I think that's right. There's a chance it's not. There's some speculation about quarterback.
Yeah.
Will they do something with a quarterback? Would they take Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. if they're still there? In theory, they could maybe trade down and still get them. Who knows? Those are the two guys we need to talk about now, though, because, you know, there's a point where, and all the other teams that need positions other than quarterback would love to see a run. They'd love to see six quarterbacks go in the top 12, 13 picks. That just means all the other players we want and covet are going to be more likely to fall down our way. But of the six quarterbacks regarded as potential first rounders, Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix are the two that are seen as the most likely to go all the way out of the round altogether. The NFL didn't invite them to the draft for that reason, supposedly. I mean, I think that there's also an issue with we're doing everything we can to spend as little money as possible, frankly. But Penix and Nix, if they're not surefire first rounders and they might do the Will Levis thing, it's embarrassing to everyone. It's embarrassing to us. It makes us look like we don't know who's going in the first round after we hype these guys as first rounders. So Penix and Nix not there. Chris, the over-under from DraftKings for both of them is 32.5. Now, Michael Penix is more of a favorite to go under. He's minus 350 to go under, plus 270 to go over. So the anticipation is he's going to make it into round one. I've heard he's going to be top half.
Yeah.
And he's that guy where there's that weird sense there's somebody out there that secretly loves him, and they're just going to snatch him either by their natural spot or they're going to trade up. I mean, there are people looking at the Falcons at 8 as a possibility for Michael Penix Jr., which would be stunning to say the least, given all the money they're paying to Kirk Cousins. But Kirk Cousins isn't a five-year answer in Atlanta. And we've seen Jordan Love sit on the bench for 3 years. So it's not impossible for something like that. But he's the guy, I think, far more likely to go in round one than Bo Nix.
Yeah, I think both are going. Like, I think these are good bets. I would take both of them, right? I really would. You know, again, you look at it and you go, like, New England can't leave the first round without a quarterback. They got to get one, right? The Giants, we don't know what they'll do if they don't get May. But those are three teams right there. Like, the Raiders and the Broncos can't leave the draft without a quarterback. The Broncos need a starting quarterback, right? The Raiders don't, like, they're not desperate, but they kind of need it. And Michael Penix is an incredible talent. I mean, incredible. And so is Bo Nix. And I just have a hard time sitting there right there at that range, like we talked about yesterday, you know, that 11, 12, 13 range where they go there. Or, hey, does somebody trade down and read the board right? And like you said, like you had in your mock draft, like, does somebody read it right to where, wait, maybe I can get acquire a few more picks and still take my quarterback a few picks down? Maybe, but I think that's really risky if you're sold on the guy and you know you got a guy, right? I mean, Michael Penix was put on earth to stand in the pocket and throw laser beams from the pocket. He's a better athlete than people realize, right? You know, I don't think the whole league in totality is in love with him, but, like, I think to your point, the teams that love him. They really do. And, you know, I just think he's a natural that way. And Bo Nix, the same thing. I mean, Bo Nix, you watch him play, you go, well, I mean, as far as quarterback play, he might play by the book better than anybody out there as far as perfect mechanics, location of the football, good read after good read, then, oh, wait, I can make plays off schedule and do that too. And that, to me, when I keep saying that, is like, I don't give a damn what anybody tells me. Sean Payton is going to take Bo Nix. I would be shocked if that doesn't happen.
If he doesn't spring up to get J.J. McCarthy.
If he doesn't.
I still think that that's possible. I think there may have been a private work out there, and I think that whole Peyton Manning thing from the other day wasn't trying to throw people off the scent. It was either inadvertent or, as I speculated, trying to screw things up, trying to throw a wrench into the Broncos' efforts to move up and get J.J. McCarthy. But I agree with you on Nix to the Broncos as a possibility. I think it's more pressing for the Broncos to get a quarterback than it is for the Raiders, because they've got Gardner Minshew and they've got Aiden O'Connell. I think you could make the argument to roll the dice with Minshew and see what happens. He almost took the Colts to the playoffs last year, for crying out loud. So, you know, we'll see. But I agree, there's a chance they both go. And if they both go, it's six quarterbacks in round one for the first time since 1983, football historian. Who were the six quarterbacks taken in round one in 1983? Go.
Okay, so Elway, Marino, Kenny O'Brien, Tony Eason, Jim Kelly, right? And
you got five right.
I know,
you're
on.
Five for five, bro.
I know. Hold on a second here. Who the hell am I missing?
You're five for five. You want a hint?
Yeah.
You want a hint?
Yeah.
Give he works hint. For us. He works with us.
Oh, duh.
He
Todd
works for
Blackledge.
NBC.
Right. I got it. Yeah. Yep. I would have got there eventually. I was choking under the pressure, but yep. There we go. Six. All right. So yep. That's right. And then listen, I think this class has got a chance to do some of that stuff. Like you've heard me say, I think they all can play quarterback, right? There's only one that I worry about that needs things fixing, and you heard me, that's Drake May, right? But again, I think everybody's got respect for what these guys do on the football field. And Michael Penix, like, I hear what you're saying about the Raiders, but damn, the Raiders need a beacon of hope, you know, like we talk about with, like, the Steelers and all that a few weeks ago. They need something to go, wait, we got something that's like, you know, people want to come and watch and see. And Michael Penix can be that guy. He could be the guy that comes in next year and, whoa, man, he's putting up big stats and numbers and throwing the ball all over the lot. He's older, he's mature, he's played a lot of football, he's had reps, right? And he's got an incredible big left arm. And I think that fits, you know, what the Raiders would like at that position.
I just have a feeling whenever Penix get taken, that's going to be the oh shit moment of round one. I think is whoever takes him, we're going to say what I just said. I'm not going to say it again. But I think that's going to be the moment. And look, could it be the Seahawks at 16, where his Washington offensive coordinator is now the offensive coordinator under Mike McDonald? Possibly. Could it be the Raiders at 13? Could it be the Falcons at 8? If he's on the board at 20, the Steelers brought him in for a visit. The Steelers don't waste their time. The Steelers don't screw around. The Steelers don't play games. They do their homework on the people they feel like they need to do their homework on, and they're ready to make a pick when they make a pick. And if a guy falls to them, so be it. 2 years ago, they had no qualms about Kenny Pickett falling to them. Maybe they wish he hadn't in hindsight, but he did. The year before, everybody knew they were taking Najee Harris. Nobody took Najee Harris before the Steelers could. So if he's there at 20, man, that would definitely be a moment if he ends up being the post-2024 quarterback for the Steelers, which means it's obvious it's Russell Wilson and Justin Fields for 1 year and 1 year only in Pittsburgh. But we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. The over-under for quarterbacks in round one is 4.5. The over is -400. The under is +300. I think it should be 5.
This is one of the best bets, right? This is it. I'm with you. This is what we talked. I talked about this with Jay Croucher, who of course makes a living looking at stuff like this and winning. Like, right, one of those few people you talk about, like
except on Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah, right. Except on that one, exactly. But okay, but yeah, that's one where you know you kind of go through the logic and we go, wait, it's definitely, we know 4 are definitely going. We know. And then it's just like, wait, only Penix or Nix have to hit? And like, wait, we got some teams that are kind of desperate for a quarterback and we don't think like that's going to happen? That one to me, I think is easy money. I think the markets are being like skewed and a little messed up there because of like maybe a year like last year where Levis, where everybody had him penciled in at number 4 or 5 in the draft and he went out there. And I think that's maybe scaring people off like a number like 5 or whatever you're saying there.
And really, Levis would have gone first round this year because there are more teams after the top 10 that need quarterbacks.
Right.
That's why he slid. The Titans were thinking about taking him with their first round pick. If the tackle hadn't been there, they would have taken him. And then they get lucky. It slides all the way through. And what do? They bust their asses to trade up to get him early in round 2. So they got the guy they would have taken in the first round. But that doesn't happen this year. I'm with you. The over-under should be 5.5. And you've convinced me now that I feel pretty confident. And remember, if you trade into round 1 to get a quarterback, we saw it with Teddy Bridgewater 10 years ago. We saw it with Lamar Jackson 6 years ago. You get him for 5 years, not 4, on his rookie deal. And that is huge. That's why for Bo Nix and Michael Penix, I don't know. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Where's the pick where you're better off just not being taken in round 1? We talked about this in the context of T. Higgins, the first pick in round 2 several years ago, and now making more under the franchise tag in 2024 than any of the first-round receivers on their fifth-year option are making. Where's that break-even point? I don't know. But you get into the 20s, deeper into the 20s, you're better off just slipping all the way to round 2, because if you're good, you're going to be in line for a big payday, Chris, sooner than later.
Yeah. I mean, you're right about that. You are. There's no doubt. You know, but that's to me going to be this interesting thing with those two quarterbacks, right? Where I don't think these teams can flirt with danger too much, right? Right, like the Denver scenario of like maybe trading down, and I get that. Like, hey, maybe you could trade down and get a few picks and still get your quarterback. But damn, that's risky. I mean, it's risky. For a team that said, like, wait, we need a quarterback and we got to get this one right, as we talked about yesterday and all that and what came out of Sean Payton's mouth, let alone, two, what I would be scared about is, you know, they don't have a second round pick. They don't have anything like that. So if they did trade down and then they felt like, ooh, wait, somebody is making a move to take the quarterback we want, and if they had a trade up, they're going to be in trouble there. Right? So that's where I just think they can't flirt with danger here. They got to take, you know, the guy they want at 12 or whatever the hell pick it is. They're at 12. Exactly right. They got to take that guy there. They can't risk it.
This is just one of those years where the planets are lining up with 6 potential first round quarterbacks and more than 6 teams that need a quarterback. And yeah, it's not going to be 6 in the first 13, but 6 in the first 32 entirely possible. We could match 1983. And, you know, Elway, Marino, Kelly, O'Brien kind of. Eason started a Super Bowl.
Right.
Didn't go well.
Right.
And ended up getting benched for
Grogan.
Steve Horsecollar Grogan.
Right.
So.
I know.
We'll see. We're going to take a break. When we return, more draft talk.
Draft things that are
likely or not.
Honor and a privilege. Big night. Ready to be football's family, Florio. Football's family. Look at that. That the family gave you a new jacket. Look at that. Football family gave you a new jacket. You look cool, man.
We'll be right back.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
DraftKings Sportsbook is an official sports betting partner of the NBA, and during the playoffs, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the app and use the promo code PFTLIVE when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours, and please bet responsibly.
You know what else today You know what else today is, too? It's draft day. It's a special day,
I know.
You know, there's special movies that are streaming on this now. Streaming on Peacock. Yeah. What? Look at Horrible Draft Day Expert over there. Rewind Horrible that.
Movie.
Look at Peacock.
I wasted 2 days now of my
on
life.
Peacock.
Don't waste your time. There's plenty
of
other things. There's plenty of other things on Peacock to watch. Don't waste your time.
Oh, boom. Hey, rewind that again. Can we see that one more time?
Ever.
I want to see that.
It is horrible.
Let me see that Oscar performance right there. Damn. Ooh. Ooh.
It is horrible.
You're like Ben Stiller in the Model movie. You only turn right.
That movie is ass. And I wasted 2 days of my life in Cleveland. As they tried to, what they did, they got a cluster of sports writers, and let's bring them to Cleveland, and let's buy them a steak, and let's give them a trailer, and let's get them to help promote our movie for free when it comes out. It's like, well, but the movie sucks. I'm not going to help promote a movie. It sucked, and I could feel it when I was there. I could sense that that movie was going to be horrible. Not that I had any context for comparison, but I could just tell. You can just tell. You know, when you're around any production that is what they loosely call a chicken shit operation, you can sense it. You can sense it. And I sensed it basically from the moment I got there.
Well,
so thank you for bringing back those.
Oh, you know what? We're going to play that. That's on your tombstone. I'm going to put that there, that video there with Aaron Rodgers on top of it, quoting, don't waste your time watching a film that crappy, right? And I'm just saying it's going to be you, and that just playing over and over.
I remember sitting at lunch that day. Jeff Darlington was there as well. And whoever they all these different titles, producer this, producer that, producer, whoever was assigned to like go around with us all day. I said to the guy, when you're in the middle of filming a movie and it ends up being bad, do you know during the filming that it's going to be bad? And Darlington starts laughing because I've been telling him, this is just a shit show. This is ridiculous. This is a joke. So he got my meaning. I was trying to ask a tactful question, and Darlington laughed and blew up the whole thing. I'm surprised they didn't escort me off the property then. All right. What's more likely? 2024 draft, round one. Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr. or trade down from number 4. The odds to go 4th overall, Harrison is minus 250, J.J. McCarthy plus 380, and Drake May plus 450. What do you think's more likely for the Cardinals?
Oh, they're drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't think they're going to risk that. I mean, we've talked about this at length, right? I mean, it seems like they're framing it around. It's the next Larry Fitzgerald. He's a damn good football player. He's got a lot of talent. And, of course, he's, to me, one of the safer picks in the draft, too. So I get it from, you know, all angles as far as drafting this guy. Like we've talked about, the neighbors thing is interesting. I think it would throw everybody for a loop if it ended up being neighbors. And as I've told you, most teams in football have neighbors as the number one receiver. But the Cardinals are hot on Harrison Jr. We'll see. We're going to find out for sure tonight, but I think they stay there and take him.
Hey, he's not going to be in the draft room in Indianapolis, but he is going to be involved. And he made a point to speak to several members of the media this week. Jim Irsay, he told Mike Chappell of Fox 59, they have great interest in Marvin Harrison Jr. Obviously, that's where Marvin Sr. played.
Right.
And he only ever played for the Colts. And he's a Hall of Famer. They have great interest in him, but they realize it's going to take a lot, but they're not closing the door on it. So, 15-4, it's a big jump. I don't know how much more you have to give up to make that splash. But, you know, if you've got some people in the Cardinals' brain trust who feel the same way you do about Harrison, about the concerns with separation, is he truly going to be as good as advertised at the next level? If you could pick up, and I don't know what it would take, another first-round pick, you pick up a first-round pick and maybe something more to go from 4 down to 15. If Hersey decides, I want this legacy player, I want this bloodline player, I want to have back-to-back Hall of Fame receivers, father, son, if you value that and it works, who cares what you gave up to get him? I mean, that's something that I feel like, you know, the basic common sense has to take over at some point. If you really want it and it works, who cares what it costs?
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you there. If you really want it and you're sold that it's going to change your organization, then I'm behind it for sure. I feel like that was just a comment that's made of like, yeah, of course they like the player and they're showing him even more respect because he's like part of the family. I don't see the Colts doing that. You know, they just paid Michael Pittman Jr. the best contract out of any receiver in football, basically. They got Alex Pierce. They got Josh Downs. They got a pretty good group there, right? They're a team that I just can't imagine, not, I don't want to say wasting, but giving away assets that were for a team that we know is not perfectly built as we sit here right now. I don't imagine Chris Ballard doing that.
How about this, though?
Yeah.
If somebody trades up to number 4 to get a quarterback, which is why J.J. McCarthy and Drake Mayer on the board there with the 4th pick, and Jim Harbaugh gets his wish. 4 quarterbacks in 4 picks, and the Chargers have the de facto first pick in the draft because they wouldn't be taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
Does Harbaugh take Harrison? He played with Marvin Sr. for 2 years in Indianapolis. Does the Michigan coach take the Ohio State receiver at number 5, or does he go in a different direction? What do you think?
I think he goes in a different direction. I just don't feel like, you know, right? GM from Baltimore, Jim Harbaugh, it doesn't feel like, oh, we're going to pick a wide receiver to start our, you know, new Jim Harbaugh era out here, which we know is going to be predicated on being tough and physical and doing that. I think it's going to start with somebody up front. I will be shocked if it's not offensive lineman, right? It's Alt or it's J.C. Latham. As we discussed a little bit, and I know I've gotten into this in my pod, in the league, we haven't talked about O-line a whole lot, but like Latham and Alt are widely viewed as in a class of their own at the tackle position. They are. I think there's a thought there of like maybe they'll take J.C. Latham, right, because he played right tackle and they have Slater at left tackle. And Latham, I think he's the best tackle in the draft. I think there's a thought that maybe Latham is the guy that the Chargers might take. And it's the Ravens, you know, GM and Greg Roman. And then Latham's this big mauler that kind of would fit a Ravens type of offensive lineman there. You know, so that's the interesting thing there, too. But, like, these guys are so talented, Mike. They can play left tackle or right tackle. It's not going to be an adjustment for either one of these guys, right? I have heard it's going to be Alt at number 5 with the Chargers. So we'll see where that goes. But I think it's definitely one of those two guys.
And there were some quotes recently, I think from the league meetings with Jim Harbaugh at that breakfast talking about offensive line. And it was funny because you had some people on X that were like, this is like he's disseminating these pearls of football wisdom. It's pretty obvious stuff. You have to have a good offensive line. And it can be Jim Harbaugh saying it in his quirky Jim Harbaugh way, but you have to have a good offensive line or you're done. Your offense is not going to do anything without a good offensive line. And those are the guys, and we've talked about this before. Everybody gets so caught up in the quarterbacks and the receivers and the big names and the guys who are going to contribute to fantasy rosters and the guys we're going to be making prop bets on. The offensive line was like, who cares? But none of those other guys can do anything if you don't have a good offensive
line. No, I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, again, it's just like, you know, sometimes we forget. We think about all the sexy players, and then you go, wait. Oh, wait, Kansas City's got a damn good O-line. Oh, right, Baltimore, other team in the Final Four. Damn good O-line. Okay, lots of big maulers. Oh, Detroit Lions, unbelievable offensive line, along with the 49ers, who is a really good O-line that I think Shanahan makes even a little bit better. But, yeah, I think your point's right, and we talk about it all the time, too. There's way more defensive linemen in the league right now that can go around and play than there are good offensive linemen. And that's where there is real value in that. And, yeah, anything we've seen Harbaugh do throughout his history has been along those lines, and I just have a hard time thinking that it won't be that. Michigan, all five guys going in the draft and draftable guys. I mean, what they had with the 49ers, right? I just think that's what he had with the Stanford Cardinals out there, even when he was the head coach there. Tons of good offensive linemen. I will be shocked if it's not that. It will be all, I think, right? That's what I think, and then – I think you'll see Latham go to the Titans. Whoever's left over, the Titans take at number 7, and I think both of those tackles are off the board at number 10, or before number 10, no doubt about it.
Latham, the slight favorite over Alt to go 5th overall. We shall see how it plays out.
I think it's the right tackle, you know, thing.
I'm sitting here thinking about when Jim Mora the Younger was the coach in Seattle. He had a press conference at one point saying that he wants dirtbags who play offensive line. And he said that's going to end up on PFT. But, you know, you want guys who are physical and tough and mean. There's an element of mean that needs to creep into it. And I know that that's no longer in vogue because this obsession with health and safety, they try to pretend that man-to-man, close proximity violence isn't still integral to the game. But you need to have a badass. You need to have 5 badasses. And you can't just say we got a great left tackle and we got a great right tackle. If your interior offensive line stinks, that's where the defense is going to focus. All it takes is 1 out of 5 weak links, and that's where they're going to push, and that's where they're going to start throwing guys into the backfield. That's what's going to happen. That's where they're going to put the Jadeveon Clowney, who just Fs up the play and allows everything else to collapse around it. So you've got to have, if you want to be a contending team, you've got to have 5 guys who can get it done, who have the mentality, who have the will, and who just, there's that mindset where they don't go out and seek a lot of glory. They're happy to be supporting cast members, but when it's time to go to work, they work, and they can fend off the defensive linemen out there who are so much better collectively than the offensive linemen the NFL currently has.
That's right. I mean, I said the Final Four. You get down to the Final 8, right? You even go there. Go to the divisional round and all those teams. It's all good offensive linemen. It's teams one after another that you go, okay, yeah, that's right. I mean, the Bucks, their O-line, pretty damn good. Tristan Wirfs and company, right? I know it's not perfect. I got that, right? I mean, the 49ers beat the Packers. The Packers O-line's damn good, right? I mean, we know that, right? So Houston's got a pretty good O-line, right? I mean, it's across the board. The Bills got a pretty good O-line. It's there. So it's a big part of the game right now because there's so many freaks at the defense end position and defensive line.
All right, next question.
Ooh.
What's more likely, receiver Roma Dunze falls out of the top 10 or Brock Bowers does? Now, I was told last week the floor for Bowers is 10 from somebody I trust. Bowers' floor is 10. He's going before 10. So for me, it's more likely then that Odunze would fall out, although there's a chance they both make it. Bowers' floor is 10, New York Jets.
The Jets are where it seems, right? I would go, though, who else before that's going to take the Bowers? I don't think there's anybody else before that you're going to go, oh, I think they're in the Bowers conversation. I don't think. I don't expect that. I think there's a very real possibility that both of these guys could fall out of the top 10, right? In fact, the more I look at it, the more I feel like if – the only way Odunze gets in the top 10 is if the Chargers somehow go receiver right after the Cardinals. And now maybe the Giants, who were at 6 and didn't get to trade to be on the Patriots, maybe they now go, wait, we didn't like any of the quarterbacks. We didn't get Drake May, but now we're going to go Odunze, right? That, to me, is the only scenario I see Odunze going in the top 10. He's a damn good football player. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't. Just by the way things look and shake out, I know a lot of people had the Bears on it at number 9. Maybe that happens. But again, you know, they got 2 very good, high-priced receivers there already. I mean, how many are we going to put there? And, you know, there's going to be some defensive guys on the board too. But the Jets with Bowers at 10 is going to be interesting, Mike, to see where that goes.
Odunze is a nice balance, though, in Chicago to the older.
Yep.
You've got Keenan Allen, who's been around forever.
Yep, and he's a lot like contract. Keenan Allen. Yeah, yeah.
You've got DJ Moore, who's kind of middle of the pack in his prime, and then you bring in a young guy. You know, by the time he's at a point where you would even consider giving him a second contract, Keenan Allen's going to be long gone. So you got to have support for that young quarterback, whether it's targets, whether it's blocking, that's what you got to do. So maybe they both go top 10, but I'm told the floor for Bowers is the Jets. That was as of last week. Who knows how many changes have been made to that mindset. But, you know, there's been talk about Odunze to the Jets at number 10, but they've got Garrett Wilson. They added Mike Williams. And
they still got Alan Lazard and some other guys to go along with it.
Yeah, and Alan Lazard was a disaster last year, but that's because Rodgers didn't play.
Right.
Lazard may still have something this year. And, you know, people keep saying, oh, well, what does Aaron Rodgers want? Well, they're going to do the opposite of what Aaron Rodgers wants. Part of what's going on this year in New York is whatever Rodgers wants or whatever you would think he wants, that's not what they're going to do. Okay.
Right. Okay.
First defender.
Yeah. I want to get into this. Something. No, let's do it. This is what I actually didn't know
first
this was coming.
First defender
right.
drafted inside or outside the top 10.
Yeah.
Pete, you don't have the right numbers there. You got Rome Odunze.
Yeah,
what's
he's
the graphic?
Got some off.
Put the graphic up.
So it's.
All right, I got
yeah.
it. I got
so
it. Here are the guys to be drafted in the top 10. So the first defender to be drafted, basically that's what it is. First defender to be drafted is who?
Look at
Based
that.
On this, it looks like Byron Murphy is the most likely defender to go first.
Well, everybody had Dallas Turner, right, to the Atlanta Falcons at pick number 8, right? Word on the street is it's going to – you know, you heard me say yesterday, don't be shocked if Byron Murphy gets into the top 10, right? I had some people that I really trust that told me that, right? Byron Murphy, by all due accounts, it sounds like Atlanta might take Byron Murphy at number 8. He's phenomenal. There's no doubt he's one of the 3 or 4 best defensive players in the draft, and obviously Atlanta thinks he's the best if they're going to take him there. Right, but that too is a part of like that Odunze thing we just talked about. Now you go, oh wait, Atlanta takes Byron Murphy. Oh no, now Dallas Turner is available for the Bears, and they can couple maybe a special pass rusher with Montez Sweat in that Eberflus defense where they let the defense ends get a little wider than normal and stuff. That is an interesting little wrinkle. But yeah, as I think you've heard me say all week, the Byron Murphy is viewed even higher than I expected. You know, once I released my mock draft and stuff, I had some people text me like, hey, dude, I know you got Byron Murphy at 14. I think there's a good chance he goes even higher than that. And it sounds like that's what's about to happen here.
Byron Murphy, the guy who gave us the phrase, I came out
slow. My man.
And yes. You get that on a T-shirt with the colors of his next team. I came out swole.
I'll wear it. Yeah. I'll wear it for sure. He's my guy right there. He was one of my favorite interviews of the – of course, I'm a little biased because he's a Texas guy, but one of my favorite interviews of the Combine this year.
Well, we'll see where he goes. Also, Dallas Turner, we mentioned him. Laiatu Latu, a guy that many regard as a top 15.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the problem. There's only 15 spots. There's only going to be 15 guys in the top 15. There's like 25 guys. Hey, he's top 15. There's only 15 spots, and we'll see how they play out.
I think that's what could add to the intrigue here, because I think there is a point in the first round where people go, these aren't really first-rounders, but we have 32 picks, and we got to fill out the round. And I think to your point right there, Mike, that's what could lead to some fireworks, because I think there are, like, you know, there's guys that are rated as top 15 players, and teams got 20 of them, right? And that's what can make it kind of fun to kind of see who goes after who and where in the top 20 exactly.
It all starts in 11 and a half hours. Boom.
Boom.
Boom. 11 and a half hours.
Boom.
Where is it?
Damn.
Oh, boy, they're not ready.
And they're slow today.
The trigger for the countdown clock on the day of the draft. It's the last day to use it.
Gosh.
Ready to go here. Boom.
Boom. About time.
There it is. Countdown clock. So
too low.
Let's go ahead and take a break. There'll be plenty of Lions fans, obviously, at the draft tonight being held in Detroit. Will they get to see their team make a pick? I sure hope so. We'll discuss that next year on PFT Live.
Say that happens where the fans have been waiting there all night for this pick, and, you know, we get an offer that we really can't turn down. It makes sense. You know, we got to do the right thing, and hopefully, you know, our fans will forgive us.
Anything can happen. We're prepared to do whatever we need to do. And look, if our guy's not there, we're sitting there, and our guy's not there, we will move back. So I'm just preparing the fans. Be ready. You never know what's going to happen here.
I love them. They are the best.
So, you're going to be out there for 4 hours.
And we might screw you over, but be prepared. Pick,
and they might not make the pick.
We'll
at
bite
all.
Your
They're
kneecaps
at
off, too.
And that's just part of the reality of hosting the draft. And look, the better your team is, the later the pick's going to be, if at all. And somebody may offer them something. They may be a team that gets an offer that they really like for someone to come back and get Bo Nix. If Bo Nix is still on the board, 29 is going to be a spot where maybe the Broncos, Sean Payton, one of the mentors of Dan Campbell, may give him a call and say, hey, I'd like to come up and get that pick and get Bo Nix. And off we go. If it's a deal they like, they're not going to say no to it. And the Lions fans will be there for round two when they pick 61st, round three, 73rd. They don't have a fourth round pick. Maybe they'll get more picks in this year's draft that the Lions fans can enjoy hearing get called out from the podium. One thing Lions fans can enjoy, and maybe this is part of the effort to make them feel better about not having a pick tonight, the Lions doing the smart thing. We've been talking so much about how the Cowboys, when it comes to great young players, cheap, short-sighted, and not as smart as they think they are. Lions, not cheap, not short-sighted, and smart enough to know what's good for them. Get these guys paid now. It's never going to get cheaper. They got two guys, 3 years in, that they want to keep. Amon-Ra St. Brown was the first one to emerge yesterday. The 17th receiver taken well into the draft, entering the final year of his contract. Boom, they get him done.
Yeah.
Now, the initial reports, as they always do, were loaded with caca, $30 million a year. It's not. We got the full breakdown of PFT as to what the deal's really worth. Michael Pittman's contract is better. It's better. It pays $70 million over 3 years, and Pittman's free after that. Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to make $63.3 over 3 years, and he's still going to be under contract for multiple years after that. But it's still a great deal. It's a fair deal. You do it now before Justin Jefferson blows the market out of the water, before Ja'Marr Chase does the same. Get it done now. It's only going to get more expensive as these other deals get done. And you're only going to have a guy who's wondering, what do you really think of me? What do you really think of me? Like, let's show him what we think of him. Let's not play games. Let's get it done. It's a great message, both with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Penei Sewell, who was a top five pick and still had 2 years left. They get both of them done. And the new money average on both is $28 million. It's kind of weird to see them both get the same deal. There are differences in structure and whatnot, but they're both at $28 million. And the Lions, hey, welcome to being a contender. Now you got to pay guys.
Yeah. The big thing is like you said, get out in front of it, right? I mean, the market might change. Amon-Ra St. Brown might lead the NFL in receptions this year with 127, and then he's going to go, wait, I want significantly more than what I would have settled for last year. They get out in front of it. They take care of a guy that they drafted. They take care of a guy that we know has got a chip on his shoulder and feel like he was underdrafted, and we know that. We were all wrong about Amon-Ra St. Brown. And you dangle out, like we always talk about, a life-changing contract to a guy that hasn't hit it rich yet, and they're going to go, damn, yeah, I'll take this. I'm not going to, pinch pennies over every last dollar what I might be worth next year after whatever. So it's a great job by everybody there. And that's same with Penei Sewell to go along with that, right? I mean, Penei Sewell is without a doubt one of the best right tackles in football, and really probably after Lane Johnson retires in a few years will be. This is a great deal for them all together. All right, so, but hey, last thing too, because I know we got one more thing to hit on with the Lions. That draft thing, I mean, those last four picks of the first round, I mean, I would think the Chiefs, the 49ers, the Lions, the Ravens, they're all going to be looking to trade down, right? It looks like the Lions have their sights on one guy that they might be there, and that's the kind of team the Lions are, right? We kind of learned that last year. They don't give a crap, what everybody else says or where everybody else's board is. They took two guys that were a little down the road on everybody's board last year. So they know who they want. They know who they like. And if that one person's not there, yeah, they're going to trade down. And I think you're going to see the bottom four teams of the draft there all go, wait, none of these guys are really first-rounders that are left here. Can we trade down and acquire some more picks? Because there's a lot of good players to be had in the second and third round.
And look, with 32 teams, there's going to be teams that aren't among that final four group that really love a guy and would like to have
a
five-year
have a desperate
option
need,
instead
right,
of four.
Exactly.
And they'll try to trade up.
Right.
It just depends on what they offer and
That's
whether they
right.
get it done. Remember last year, the Titans were furiously working the phones trying to trade up to get Will Levis, and there just wasn't a deal that the teams there were willing to do. Maybe this year it'll be different. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jared Goff. Extension is not close for Goff. He's in the final year of his contract. This is the deal that the Lions inherited with that trade from 3 years ago with the Rams. It's actually not a lot of money that's being paid to Goff this year. Goff, Dak Prescott, Tua Tagovailoa, three starting quarterbacks for playoff teams that could be unrestricted free agents a year from now. And, you know, the Lions have Hendon Hooker, third-round pick from last year, kind of in that, let's see what we do with him mode. But, you know, from the Lions' perspective, the question is, how far do they think Goff can take them as they try to win a Super Bowl? And how much are we going to pay him to be the guy to try to take us that far? That's the challenge with a veteran quarterback, up with the right number.
I think that's right. That's the question, right? It's just like, how much is him? How much is the team, the culture, whatever else, right? He's exceeded expectations. That's been great. But do we still feel like he can carry us through a tough moment or that, whatever? I mean, again, you know, most quarterbacks would get lambasted if they blew a 17-point lead in the NFC Championship game. But because, like, there's an expectation with Jared Goff that maybe he isn't as high as other guys, we kind of just went, oh, wait, they did miss on fourth down, and we don't even talk about it, right? So, yeah, I think that's a fair question, right? I mean, again, he went to the Lions – and 2021, we were like, well, he's not the answer for the Lions long term. And 2022, we went through half of the year going, he ain't the answer for the Lions long term, right? I mean, you were making fun of him. Like, the guy's only won, like, three games since he left Sean McVay. He can't win a game unless he's at home in a dome or whatever with Sean McVay. Remember that? Right? So, like,
yes.
Just because of last year, all of a sudden it's like, damn, we got to pay him, like, $50 million a year. Like, I just don't imagine the Lions doing that right away here. They probably want to evaluate this a little further. And this would be the year. The bullseye, the expectations are there, right? And now you can get a fair evaluation for what you're expecting here.
He's not even 30.
Yeah.
Been 8 years since he was the first overall pick in the draft. And this went from, you know, kind of a Brock Osweiler deal that was low key. The Rams buried Goff's contract into the Stafford deal. The thinking was that an extra first round pick got put in specifically to get the Lions to take the contract. So it started off as, we're just going to get through a year or two with this guy. And then it's like, we kind of like this guy. And now how much do you like him? How much are you going to pay him? And what's his alternative if the Lions don't give him what he's looking for? Let's take a break. When we return, the Bengals have some guys looking for new deals. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live. Trey Hendrickson has been one of the best players on the Bengals defense in recent years, and he wants to be paid accordingly again. He got an extension last year, and this came up yesterday. His agent, Harold Lewis, wants a trade if the Bengals don't give him a long-term deal. Wants more security. He's also considering retirement. That's part of the leverage that you play. I don't know how much money you'd have to pay back to the Bengals if he did retire. We'd have to look that up. But there's clearly some discontent there, and this is one of the byproducts of having a great team. You got players that want to get paid, and you got to find a way to hold it all together. Joe Burrow got top of the market. Ja'Marr Chase is going to get top of the market. T. Higgins is trying to get his, and Hendrickson wants his piece of the pie as well. And, hey, without him, I don't know that these Bengals will have been as good as they've been the past few years.
No, I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I'm sure he's looking at it going, wait, what? I mean, what am I making compared to these other pass rushers? Wait, let me check the stats from last year. Oh, that's right. I was second in football in sacks. That's right. I had 17 and a half. So I'm sure he's disgruntled about that. But, you know, I think it's also he came off a year where you just talked about. He just did an extension and did that on a year where he had 8 sacks, and he was like, wait a minute, I didn't play good. Oh, yeah, you'll give me more money? I'll take that. Sure, yep, I'll take it. It was only 8 sacks. I need that more money. I don't know, Oh, I had a great year. And that's I don't know. That kind of feels a little unfair. I'm in a year from an extension, and here we go, and wait, I had a good year, and now I want to be paid significantly more.
But,
right?
But I'm looking at his numbers. Player. Look at his numbers.
Right.
14-8 this year. It's way low. Next year, when the market's 34, it's
why did he agree to that? Like, what is he? That's I want to go.
It's
why
the agent's
agent?
Fault.
Exactly.
Harold Lewis.
Right.
Harold Lewis trying to clean up his own. I don't know Harold Lewis trying to clean up his own mess by saying, "Give me more money," because my guy's upset. Why am I making less than 50% of the market when I had 17 and a half sacks? And sometimes the right thing to do if you're the team, the right thing to do is give the guy.
Yeah.
If you got to do something. You got to make it right. He's only 29. He's not going to retire.
No.
So either give him something or trade him to someone who will. I think that's fair for him to make that request because it sounds like somebody negotiated a bad contract last year and somebody from the Bengals negotiated a pretty good contract. By the way, T. Higgins reiterated his trade request. Not a surprise. If there's going to be a Brandon Ayuk trade, I could see Higgins say, well, trade for me. Trade for me and pay me. And it's weird because he said before that he's going to play for the Bengals this year. I just think he recognizes if he's going to get traded, Chris, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, just remind everybody, right? Just one more time, put it out there. Will anybody make a move? Will anybody pay me, right? I mean, he's a damn good football player, right? I think there's a case to be made in my world where I'd go, I'm not so sure. I wouldn't rather have T. Higgins than Brandon Ayuk. Higgins is one of those guys you can line up outside and just go, let's see him take on this guy all day. I think I like his chances, but I don't expect him to go anywhere.
When we return, a potential first-round prospect trying to maybe get the Panthers to not take him. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
What have your interactions been like with the Carolina Panthers?
I have met with the Panthers about four or five times. The relationship that it just keep continuing to grow. And they really hoping that I can make it to that second round. And they keep on telling me, man, that if I'm sitting at 33, they're going to take me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a great conversation. You know, I definitely said that to him and about 50 other guys. You know, like, man, so we take you at 33. It's actually a lead-in question. So when we draft you at 33, what happens now? And then there's a bunch of questions that happen after that, you know, so... Yeah, part of the process.
Clean up on aisle five. Clean up on aisle five. Xavier Leggett realizing that the Panthers are currently not good. Maybe trying to get someone because 33 is the first pick of round two, obviously. Leggett maybe hoping that one of those teams looking to trade down will trade with a team that jumps up to get Leggett before he can be drafted by the Panthers. Yeah, I got the challenge flag on the Dave Canales explanation.
Well done, though. He sold it hard, though. He did a good job.
No, I know. But if they're accidentally causing 50 guys to come to the conclusion that they're going to be the 33rd overall pick in the draft, that's on them.
Yeah.
That's just dumb. Because those guys are going to come out of there thinking, they told me they're taking me at number 33 if I'm there.
Yeah. I'm not sure I really buy that either. He did do a good job selling it, right? I mean, Xavier Leggett, right? He is one of the, what I would call cluster, okay, of guys, okay? In my podcast, I would have said the real word, but I won't for you right now.
Yeah, we know.
Okay, you got it? You know the word I was thinking of? Yeah.
You can always say fudge instead. I just did it earlier this show, cluster fudge.
Yeah, that's not fun. Who the hell with that? All right. But either way, there is a group of guys there, Leggett being part of that, end of the first round, early second. Who goes there, right? Like we talked about, those last four or five picks, you know, of the first round, I think is a wide range of like 10 or 15 guys that could go there, right? Leggett, Xavier Worthy, Adonai Mitchell from Texas, right? There's some, you know, other old linemen that are a part of that conversation. But, it'd be interesting. And they need a receiver. So I'm not shocked to hear them have that thought about Leggett.
Well, we just hope there's a camera on David Tepper when the 33rd pick is made to see whether or not he throws a drink on someone in celebration or exasperation with the selection process. Maybe we need to see the camera on him at 32 because that's the last pick before they would run the board the next day. Either way, hopefully no drinks will be thrown in the Carolina draft room tonight, or hopefully they will be. When we return, our bold predictions for draft day as we wrap up our draft day edition of PFT Live.
I mean, the Texans pick. This is where the first thing of, like, I don't know if anybody knew what this pick was going to be tonight.
The Houston Texans select C.J. Stroud.
What? I have no idea.
The blues
I'm hoping
down.
It's Tyree for the Houston Texans, but it Will Anderson could be.
The Houston Texans select Will Anderson Jr., linebacker, Alabama.
It's happened.
Oh, it happened.
Happy Chris from last year. Pete in the background. Ahmed Fareed there as well. They'll be back there again tonight. Happy Chris making another appearance. You may have last seen Happy Chris at the Mega Picks podcast in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Sportsbook just a few days before the Super Bowl. So I kind of wish I was there. Wouldn't that be great if we were doing it together?
I do. I wish you were. I feel bad that I'm not doing it tomorrow morning. I do feel bad. I really do. I know we started it off there, and you picked somebody else for tomorrow, so that's fine. But, yeah, I do feel bad about that. I do.
Give me a bold prediction. Give me a bold prediction for tonight.
Rome Odunze falls out of the top 10. That's going to be my bold prediction.
Mine is I have a weird feeling. Pasta and meatballs, that the Vikings are staying put at 11 because whoever O'Connell wants, it's going to cost more than what the team is willing to give up to move up. And then for whoever else they could maybe get at a reasonable price, Kevin O'Connell isn't going to want, to go back to his comments from last week. There's one guy, I think, maybe two. Beyond that, I don't think he wants him. I think they're going to stay put at 11 and might not take a quarterback. We'll see.
Ooh.
Enjoy the draft tonight. Chris, we'll miss you tomorrow. Devin McCourty will be in. I'll be here.
See ya.
See you in the morning. Have a great Thursday.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.